Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 16th of March, recording at 8:59 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Another quiet day in most markets, in stock markets. I'd say the Asian markets were quietly mixed. Thailand had one of the better performances today, though. It was stronger. And China, which had been weak the two previous days, was up a little bit, but very much range-bound. European stock markets all closed with gains. They range from about a half of 1%, that's FTSE, just about, to 1.25%. And the Americas were quite steady. Wall Street had been underwater or about even for most of the day, but then picked up near the close. And best gain on the three main indices was the S&P 500, up 0.78% And in the long dated government bonds, interesting, those are prices are steady, including UK gilts, so the quantitative easing lives. I'm talking about bond prices now, all showing gains. And the big news, though, on the day is that the U.S. dollar is considerably weaker. The U.S. dollar index is down over 500 points. It brings it down to the dollar index to 79.72. Sterling, which everybody's been rubbishing and giving big quantum forecasts, so you know they're all short. A bit of a squeeze going on there today. It's currently up 185 at 152.43. Euro is up to 137.66. And well, the dollar is weak generally, including down a fraction against the yen, reversing some earlier gains. Now, precious metals had a big day. With that dollar softer, and we've got silver up to $17.47, gold up over $19 to $1,127.8, platinum up 19 to $16.35, palladium, I hadn't noticed that, that's up over $12, $14.73. I'm just putting that up on the screen. Just want to see if that is a new high. No, it's not a new high, but it's up right up near its highs. So that's interesting. Okay. Anything in the agricultural commodities? Yes, they bounced in here, and the industrial metals were steadier as well. Crude oil, which had been weaker but closed up over 215, and that's taken it to 81.95. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's been a good 4 to 5 weeks and counting, as you know. I've talked a lot about very brief consolidations because of short-term overbought conditions, but we're getting, so far, rising consolidations. In other words, you get a few days sideways, you get then a little step upwards. So it's very orderly advance. And underneath that, and something I've mentioned in just about every broadcast, is that we have these big trading ranges underneath. And those trading ranges mostly conform to the medium-term cyclical bull trend hypothesis, in that they are to the left side of the rising 200-day moving averages, which represent the trend mean. So that looks pretty good technically, and the if that was a little bit too technical in terms of jargon for you, what it suggests is that there's a fair amount of underlying support following several months of ranging. Now you remember those percentage odds on the three scripts for the global stock markets that I had spelled out for you. I think I did it back in December. If not December, it was in January. But basically, I gave it a weighting of, and this was done in collaboration with Owen, of course, saying that this was right when stock markets were just down, stock market indices were just testing those 200-day moving averages. And I rated it a 40% chance that we would see moves, steady moves, up off the 200-day moving averages and going on to new highs, which would be maintained, thus reaffirming the medium-term cyclical bull trends. That was a 40% possibility. And then again, another 40% possibility to lots of extensive ranging. With many indices eventually working their way to the right side of the 200-day moving averages, in other words, showing further a further loss of momentum in the trends overall, and just ranging more or less indefinitely or for a number of months additionally. Now that we rated that at a 40% chance, and then a 20% chance for what a lot of people feared when we were seeing those 200-day moving averages tested, as you may recall, saying that there was a 20% chance that we would get a much more serious sell-off. Well, today, given the action that we have seen, that 20% downside has really, I think, and I described it a few weeks ago as that was pretty generous, and I would certainly downgrade that to 10%. There's always a chance that something happens, even if it's some sort of surprise, unexpected, exogenous event. But I don't see any reason, any fundamental or technical reason why stock markets should seriously buckle in here right now. So I think the chance of that serious sell-off, as I would put it, no more than 10%, and that's being generous. And you can divvy up that the 10% between the continuing upwards to the sideways ranging. The continuing upwards hypothesis really does deserve the upper hand because so far that's what we have been seeing. And I don't, again, I repeat myself, but I don't see any fundamental factors why we shouldn't have that take place. Now, among some of the changing fundamental factors and technical factors in here, the U.S. dollar. I have long felt that that steady U.S. dollar that we have seen since December was in part due to a retest of the upper region of the small base that had formed between, I think it was between March and July of 2008, that small base. So some steadying just because we had returned to that level and too many people were short. And the rest of it was a contraction in risk appetite. In other words, investors became more cautious, more conservative. So they sold some of their risk assets from stock markets to precious metals and commodities generally. And put some money back into the US dollar. Well, looking at the charts of the US dollar in here, whether you're looking at the euro, whether you're looking at sterling, whether you're looking at the strong currencies, which, and I'm talking in terms of medium-term trend, which are the resources currencies, there is clearly a perception, excuse me, developing in the market among all those dollar bulls that this isn't going so well. So I think we have seen some real short covering here against sterling and the euro, and we've seen it earlier on against the euro. Now it's a bit of a two-way struggle because let's see, today's Tuesday. On Friday, the euro had rallied. On Monday, the euro was weak and the dollar rallied. Today, the euro regained almost all of Monday's losses against the dollar. So there's certainly some two-way activity here, but sterling and the euro are the two weakest currencies, of course. And the gains that the dollar had seen against the resources currencies, well, those peaked weeks ago, and the dollar has fallen down to new reaction lows against a number of currencies, including many of the foreign money themes. India is one of those examples. Okay. So, I think we can say that there's a good chance that perceptions will continue to shift away from dollar strength towards, well, the dollar is no better than the others that have all kinds of sovereign debt problems and slow growth problems. And it's not hard for people to dust down and polish up those scripts, and equally the bearish comment on sterling. I mentioned it in response to an email. I think it was on the 6th of this month, you know, pointing out as Owen has that, you know, people were making these quantum leap forecasts for sterling against the dollar down to 140 and 120, and that's a sign of nervousness. Masked by a bit of bravura here in making the quantum leap forecasts when people are starting to get nervous. So what does it all mean? If perceptions are changing regarding the dollar from being a strong currency to a more vulnerable currency, that takes the lid off precious metals. And we could see a run. We had a good upward dynamic here by gold today. Now, if gold continues, it's range bound, but if gold can, after this upward dynamic, if it can now continue to find support above that $1,100 level, and just to remind you, it's only $1,126 here right now, but if it can do that, and then break up above that $1,150 level, and hold it, it's likely to be off to the races. Now, everything's tied together here still, which is irritating in a way. If we were to get a sharper consolidation in stock markets, in other words, if they were to retrace a third to half of their recent gains, which that's not a forecast, but I'd say would not be totally unreasonable. But if they were to do that, on the evidence that we've seen so far, that would weigh on precious metals. I mean, today, every time Wall Street got down to just about unchanged, gold would give up $3 or $4 of its gains and then pick it up again when Wall Street rallied. So that correlation is still holding. But if we get stock markets experiencing no worse than rising consolidations, and there's a good chance that we'll see that for a while, and if we get the dollar continuing to erode its gains so that the strong dollar hypothesis is no longer credible among traders. And remember, forex traders are more technically driven than anybody else in the markets. If we get that environment, then we will really see some additional near-term, medium-term strength in these commodity markets. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't precious metals to the fore. Watch palladium. It would break through first. It's very close to doing that. It's the leader. That's the one to monitor. You'll learn more over the short to medium term regarding what gold and silver or platinum are going to do by watching palladium. Now, why do I make that outrageous statement? Well, veteran subscribers will understand it, and so will anyone who's attended the chart seminar. It's the commonality principle. When you have a high degree of commonality for precious metals, for instance, which the same people trade, one will always be favored over the others. That favoritism will change over the medium term. But as I mentioned for months, palladium's the leader here, and it'll lead in both directions. And so it'll lead on both the rallies and on the setbacks. I wish I'd paid. I commented on it often. I wish I'd paid more attention to it in terms of my overall trading. So, if palladium hits a new high tomorrow, that would be a signal to increase positions in other precious metals. Conversely, if we get a big downward dynamic in palladium tomorrow, it would be a signal to lighten them. I'm backing the upside. And on that note, I'll say all the best to all of you.